time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down on the living room floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal, and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched Family Guy. I feel like we know the theme song pretty well.
Yeah, I know the theme song pretty well.
I'm pretty sure I could sing the whole thing. Yeah, it's not that long, actually.
Let's not do that. This was recommended by Patrick, and he recommended it specifically as a tribute to the late, great Adam West.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, and I do need to make one correction. So last week we had three people suggest the cartoon for us. Two people picked the same episode, but I got those names mixed up and I'm very sorry. I'm sorry to everyone involved. So instead of one hot cop having picked the episode, it was actually, this is totally not the CIA or FBI. That person and Carter were the ones that suggested that episode. Not the other way around. So sorry about that. Just want to give you credit.
It sounds like we have a lot of people with a cop or FBI or CIA listening to our show. We should probably be careful what we say. We're going to go on a list somewhere.
That's not good.
So the show Family Guy ran from 99 to, well, it's still going, so current. Created and developed by Seth MacFarlane and David Zuckerman. Produced by Fuzzy Door Productions, Fox Television Animation, and 20th Century Fox Television. It's ran so far for 15 seasons, 289 episodes on the Fox Network. Yeah, and also Cartoon Network after its first cancellation, which eventually led to it coming back to Fox. I don't know, it's a whole thing. And for a short synopsis, in a wacky Rhode Island town, a dysfunctional family strives to cope with everyday life as they are thrown from one crazy scenario to another.
I think that is the best this can be described. Because this show often has really no plot.
It has a plot, but it's so loose. And it has to be because of the way that it jumps around. And it just brings up different pop culture references every 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, there used to kind of be like at least a few subplots. And sometimes there still are. But I feel like a lot of times Family Guy is just a series of jokes. And they may or may not be connected.
Sometimes, yeah.
Which sometimes that works out for him, so.
Yeah, I can agree with that. So, Chris, who are some of the actors who played in the show?
So, the voices of Peter, Stewie, and Brian Griffin were Seth MacFarlane, who, as you said, was the series creator. And you've also heard his voice or seen him in movies like Ted or A Million Ways to Die in the West. And he's about to star in the new sci-fi Star Trek kind of parody comedy TV show that I think is on Fox, maybe. I don't know. Called The Orville. So if you haven't checked that out, check out the trailer. It looks like it could be kind of funny. Maybe. The voice of Lois Griffin was Alex Borstein, who you may have seen from Mad TV, Shameless, or Bordertown. The voice of Chris Griffin was Seth Green, who is known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's also done voices in Batman Beyond, Robot Chicken, which he is also the series creator. And he is the voice of Leonardo in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You might also know him as the son of Dr. Evil from Austin Powers. $1 million. I still hate it. Still hate that movie and all of subsequent movies.
Oh.
The voice of Meg Griffin was originally Lacey Chabert, I don't know, who was the most notably the voice of Eliza from the Wild Thornberries on Nickelodeon Nicktoons back in the day. And then the role was taken over after, sorry, I had a burp. That was so loud. Then the role was taken over after season one by Mila Kunis, who you will know from That 70s Show, Oz the Great and Powerful, Ted, Jupiter Ascending, and Bad Moms, which is a movie that came out last year and looked hilarious, but I never saw it because I'm not a mom. But I am bad. And then finally, the voice of Mayor Adam West was Adam West, who was mainly known for Batman. He was the 66 Batman, the Batman of our forefathers. And he was also in Zombie Nightmare. I threw that in for Joseph because he loves zombie stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was all for you. It's all for you, Damien. I mean, Joseph.
So for a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Family Guy cereal, there were so many like tidbits and facts on this that I just chose a couple, and they're probably not the best ones because I didn't want to read through all like 300 plus, but here's some. So like I was mentioning earlier, the show has been canceled twice, once following the second season, which caused the show to not air a new episode for a year, and the second and longest being between the third and fourth season, which was from 2002 to 2005, it was canceled. So it's run 15 seasons to date, but been canceled twice, but brought back due to popular demand. It was taken on by Cartoon Network to run after its first cancellation, and it became so popular on there. And they actually ran kind of uncut episodes on Cartoon Network. So there were still cursing and things in there that they cut out of the Fox versions. Due to popular demand on Cartoon Network and great DVD sales, Fox was like, you know what? It's worth bringing back. So they brought it back, canceled it again for some reason, and then decided, hey, it's worth bringing back again. So there we go again. But, I mean, it's been running solid since 2005. So
Seth MacFarlane in general kind of became Fox's, I don't know, like their golden boy, like their cash, sure, their cash money. Because not only did, you know, he came back and did Family Guy again, but then they also ordered American Dad, which was another show he created and largely the exact same cast. And then also they did the Cleveland Show for a while, which was a spinoff from Family Guy, again, with pretty much the same cast. A few people have kind of came and gone from that. I think Cleveland Show has since been canceled.
I think so.
But
yeah,
my God, they have gotten so much out of this guy. It's just crazy.
Yeah, he's a very talented artist, I guess you would call him. I don't know.
Yeah, he is. And dude, and on top of that too, he's an amazing singer.
Yeah.
Like if you like things like Sinatra and like the classic kind of crooner kind of music and stuff, oh my God, he's so good.
He does have a great voice, silky smooth. The second one, this is kind of funny, and I didn't really know all of this, but so the kids' names, the kids' full names. So there's Stewie Gilligan Griffin is Stewie's full name.
I know Chris is, it cracks
me. Yeah, Christopher Cross Griffin is Chris's full name. And then Meg's full name, and this is funny because it was supposed to be Megan on the birth certificate after Lois had initially filled it out, but then Peter took it from her and changed it to Megatron Griffin. So
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Apparently her official name is Megatron Griffin. Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah, I had no idea. I hope that's true. I mean, I was reading it off IMDb. I'm sure it was mentioned in an episode, but I don't know if it's like a canon thing or not, but that's assume it is.
Like, I love that. That's funny.
Megatron Griffin.
Megatron Griffin.
The show's Emmy nomination for Outstanding Comedy Series in 2009 marked the first time since The Flintstones in 1960 that an animated series earned such a nomination. So wow. Congratulations.
So Family Guy was a big deal, apparently, even as far as critics go.
Yeah, and it's funny because Seth MacFarlane actually worked on some Hanna-Barbera cartoons, I think, including the Flintstones at some point. So there is a tie. Yeah, there is a tie there, but not the older ones, but
I know
some of the newer versions.
He did work in like the newer wave that were on Cartoon Network, like early on, like Johnny Bravo, Dexter's Laboratory, that stuff. I know he worked on all of those.
Right. Yeah, that's actually how the series got introduced in the first place, with a show called Larry and Steve. Was kind of a kid's show originally.
It was on that
What a Cartoon thing. Yeah, that's what it was.
And actually that is something that has been requested, that we take a look at a few episodes of What a Cartoon eventually. And Larry and Steve is on that list.
Nice.
For What a Cartoon. So we will actually look at the predecessor to Family Guy at some point.
Which was supposed to be a kid's cartoon originally, and then it evolved into what we have today. And finally, and this is kind of a side one, but I thought it was funny. So the running gag with Mr. Herbert is his name rhymes with pervert, which pertains to his creepy demeanor regarding young boys. And he's the old man who's always hitting on Chris.
He is like my favorite character in that whole show. He's so funny.
He is.
Hey, Muslim.
Yeah.
Don't you bring me the good news.
I think we see him once in these episodes that we watched, and it was only multiverse one.
Barely. Yeah. It sucks because he's so funny.
He really is. So, Chris, I mean, obviously, we were kind of growing up with this as it was aging, but what memories do you have of it?
I didn't see it until it had already been canceled. Being in high school and then getting into college and stuff like that, this was constantly on Adult Swim. And that was, you know, the times that you're up at night, nothing to do because you're not going to do your homework because who does homework? I mean, Carter, do your homework. But so that's what I was watching it and I loved it immediately once I actually gave it the chance. And I ended up watching it so much just because the style of humor resonated with me a lot. And in fact, I have very specific memories of skipping school to go grab a bunch of Chinese food, partake in certain things, and then watch lots of Family Guy. So, oh man, it was good times, man. Good times.
Sounds like it. It's kind of like, for me, I mean, I just caught it every once in a while. I liked it because a lot of it, like we were talking about, is references to just pop culture in general. So there's nostalgia to it where you're like, oh yeah, like that's a thing, like that happened or whatever, or
exactly, that was a thing.
Yeah. And so I don't know, it's one of those shows that I've caught every once in a while, but it's not something I ever watched like consistently, so I don't think I've ever watched a full season of it, but I catch episodes when, you know, I'm around and they're on.
And I do have to, like, I have to give some credit because Family Guy kind of developed my personality in a weird way, because I think because I was watching it so much back at that time that I've had friends since that period say sometimes like hanging out with you is like watching a marathon of Family Guy just because of like the way I talk and the goofy voices I do and some of my mannerisms and the jokes I say, stuff like that. Like, yeah, I've heard that quite a bit. So
nice.
I never thought that about myself, but this is just what people have told me. So I kind of feel like I need to credit Family Guy with helping develop that part of my personality a little bit.
Yeah, I guess that's a comment even.
Yeah.
So I guess let's go ahead and jump into the episodes we watched for today's show. Their first episode, highest rated episode, and finally random motion or chosen episode. Order may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode being Death Has a Shadow, season 1, episode 1. And this one is actually based on the series creator Seth MacFarlane's original pitch to Fox and The Life of Larry, which was a spinoff of Larry and Steve that we were talking about earlier. And in this episode, Peter loses his job after drinking too much at a stag party and falls asleep at work. He signs up for welfare to keep his wife Lois from finding out, but gets much more money than he expected.
Yeah, that's like the episode in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But And what's funny is, and this is classic Family Guy, is that you just said the entire plot. That's all you really need to know about the episode. Everything else is just joke after joke after joke after joke sandwiched in between all of those.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because it's like filler, but it's a filler that you like. Like it's cream filling inside of a donut. Like it just makes it better.
It's the icing in the Oreo.
There you go.
You know, the amount of jokes, especially in the first few seasons, the jokes are, they come at you so fast and so often, and it's so witty that it would be easy to miss something.
Yeah.
And I feel like rewatching it here, I feel like I was able to absorb everything because I've probably seen this first episode, like, I don't know, it's definitely double digits for the amount of times I've seen it.
Kind of to your point about it coming at you so fast, because some of it comes in like the form of flashbacks or like scene cuts where it's like, I remember the time where blah blah blah, and then it'll something completely random will happen, and it's weird because it like sets them up in situations. Like it could be one where, you know, Peter's like, and I don't think this actually happened, but it might have at some point, where he could just be like, I remember the time we were fighting Hitler in, you know, World War whatever, and then it would show him like in a tank or something fighting against Hitler, and it's like, oh, yeah. Obviously it's like that couldn't have happened based on his age, but then again, like it doesn't matter because it's just part of, it's just such an off comment. Nobody responds to it. Nobody says anything about it. It just happens and then it moves on.
So that's something that sometimes works really well for them and sometimes works against them. And this was pointed out a long time ago, South Park made fun of Family Guy because they make fun of everything.
Of course.
But of course they're gonna pick on their main competitor. So their thing was all that Family Guy isn't that funny and that every joke is a formula. And they're kind of right in that way, that so many of their jokes are, everything starts with, you remember that time? And then it's just something wacky like you just said. And they did one, like a parody of Family Guy, where it was like, remember that time the Prophet Muhammad showed up wearing a fish for a hat? And it was like, you know, the whole thing of that episode turned into like Al-Qaeda was like targeting, you know, the United States if they aired this episode.
Oh, blah, yeah.
They showed the Prophet Muhammad. They were doing that whole thing and blaming it on Family Guy, just like, but it was just that kind of thing. And then it turned out like the whole thing was just, they had these manatees that would pick up little balls with something and drop it in a little container. And that would be the Family Guy joke. Like one manatee would drop a little ball that says Muhammad and one might drop one that says fish. And they're like, aha.
See, that's kind of what it feels like sometimes. But
yes,
but as weird as that sounds, it still works to some degree. Right. And sometimes it's actually really funny and like laugh out loud funny.
Yeah. And like one of my favorite ones. And so this is another thing, too, is Family Guy really straddles the line between funny and horribly offensive. Like one of the first jokes of this one that made me laugh hysterically was the real reason that Hitler hated the Jews is Hitler at the gym and he's like barely curling these tiny dumbbells and he looks over because he hears laughing. And there's this very Jewish looking guy, but super buff with all these pretty girls around him. Then Hitler's like,
yeah.
And I was just like, oh, my God.
That did make me laugh.
Yeah. Oh, God. I lost it. I laughed so hard at that.
There's also the spot where, and it's like, there's so many references and pop culture figures who just pop in. And it's not even necessarily in flashbacks. Yes. Sometimes they're just like in this world. This world has, it's open to anything. Like there's no set rules. Yeah. And so like in one part of this episode where Peter's in the courtroom, you know, and the judge like file.
Oh,
so let me tell you how it leads up to that real quick.
This is my favorite Family Guy joke of all time. Maybe one of my favorite gags in all of animation.
It's so good. And so let me just give a short like lead up to it. So like we were talking about, you know, Peter gets way too much in welfare and which is $150,000 a week. And so he just starts spending it extravagantly. And, you know, Lois gets mad at him. And obviously, once she finds out, and then, you know, so his idea is to return it. And in doing so, he drops like all this money over the Super Bowl dome, which is kind of like, it's kind of funny because it's the first episode of Family Guy aired directly after one of the Super Bowls. I can't remember the number.
Yeah.
But
I think it was the number that they used in the episode.
Yeah. 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 And so he drops it over the Super Bowl, but it causes like a mass riot. And so he's taken to taken to the courtroom and being judged and everything. And once the judge makes his verdict, which is 24 months in prison, so 2 years in prison, everybody is just in succession, just like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. And then Kool-Aid Man pops through the wall and is like, oh, yeah. And then the best part is because like everybody's silent and he just slowly backs out of the courtroom or through the wall and runs off. And that's just awesome.
When I saw that the first time, that's probably the hardest I have ever laughed at a joke on television. And it might still be the hardest I've ever laughed in my life at a joke in like a cartoon or something.
It's just so well placed. And it's things like that where it's pop culture references that don't need any explanation. They don't ever say Kool-Aid Man. They don't have to, because anyone who knows the Kool-Aid Man knows those commercials, knows his tagline. And once it's brought up in outside of, you know, the normal setting, it's just funny. And that was a perfect spot for it. So I agree. Really good joke.
Yeah. And one of my favorite things about it, too, like you said, like one of the other funnier parts is when he quietly like he's just like, oh, and it starts like backing up really slowly.
Yeah.
And just the characters watch him do it and then they go back to what they were doing and don't even acknowledge it.
Yeah, exactly.
And like that's something that carries through a lot of Family Guy episodes is just something crazy happening and they just don't really acknowledge it as being something significant. And I think that adds to the humor.
Exactly. It's better like, for it. It's better for it. Yeah.
And that happens a lot with Stewie, like where he's involved because he's a baby. You know, they even make a joke about this in a Family Guy episode, not one that we watched for today's episode, but I think the episode was telling this story about like how the world like Earth originally ended or something, and now these random people are in space, and they're basically being taught this in a classroom. And then this kid raises his hand, and the teacher's like, yes. And he's like, so does the family understand the baby? I don't get it.
Yeah.
And that's like the perfect like meta joke for the show, because it sometimes it feels like maybe they can understand them. Like, obviously Brian understands them, and because they talk constantly together. But the rest of the family seems like maybe they don't understand what he's saying, and they just hear baby talk or something.
Yeah, especially Lois. But then it almost feels like Lois is just kind of like typical mom, where she's not oblivious to what her child is saying, but just kind of turns a blind eye to it.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Like, so, and this is what I miss about Family Guy, is the first like couple of seasons, Stewie's main plot device is trying to kill his mom.
Yeah.
Which sounds awful. But if you actually watch the show, it's not like he's just trying to straight up murder her. It's like over the top super villain.
Oh yeah. Plan. He's using like lasers, death traps, yeah, things like that.
He's got a gun and a sandwich.
There was one time where he brought a box of grenades to her to get his gun back, and she gave it back to him. He's like, okay. And then just runs off with it and blows up.
In these early episodes, he was definitely my favorite character. For that reason, because that subplot that ran through so many episodes, I think is hilarious. But they slowly started changing his character and just went down a completely different path with him, to the point where he is definitely not my favorite character anymore.
Overall, Brian is my favorite character, just because he sometimes feels like the most grounded.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the gag too, is Brian is obviously the smartest and most like realistic and grounded character of the entire show. But he's the family dog.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't make sense. But
then there are times, and they come, I guess it comes later in later episodes, where a lot of things he says are just kind of like basic. Like, I don't know. We'll get there, because the third episode we watched, which was season 8, episode 1.
The only other thing I can think of to add to this episode, which is weird, is that I think in this episode only does Brian sit like an actual dog sits.
Mm.
And in all the other episodes, he sits like a human.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they made that change. But
because he doesn't really like walk on all fours or anything ever. I don't even think in this episode he's always on two legs.
Yeah, that's true. He walks like a human at all times. So eventually, I guess they decided, well, if he's going to walk like a human, it's weird that he sits like a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And just a note, like the rest of the family understands Brian. So Brian speaks perfect English. The entire family understands and talks to him like they would any other person. But Brian's the only one that can communicate with Stewie.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a weird language barrier or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Giggity.
The second episode we watched for today's show was Deep Throats, season 4, episode 23, which was one that was chosen by Patrick, right?
Specifically because it was a very Mayor Adam West-centered episode. And because we are doing this as basically a tribute to Adam West, that was why Patrick requested it. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
In this episode, appalled at parking changes introduced by Mayor West, Brian decides to expose the corruption of the mayor, despite the prospect of potentially destroying Meg's new career as the mayor's intern.
A lot of the jokes in this episode were some of my favorites out of all the episodes we watched. Like, one of my favorites, and this is something that continues with Meg's character, is Meg didn't start out as the butt of every joke, but she certainly became the butt of every joke.
Yeah.
So she's constantly getting picked on. At the beginning of this episode, they're kind of giving Brian some grief because they think he's lazy, he's complaining about stuff, but he doesn't like make money, doesn't have a job, which makes sense because he's a dog, but they kind of see him as like a person, I guess.
Yeah.
They're basically talking about like how his life's going nowhere, and the whole family's kind of gathered around and put in front of him. They're like, ha, Brian's the new Meg, and everyone's like, ha ha, you're the new Meg, and then Meg's like, yeah, you're the new me, and Peter's like, shut up, Meg.
Yeah. And that's constant throughout the series. At least at a certain point, yes, it hits that where it's like almost every time Meg speaks, she's reprimanded in some way.
And then we get to see another character that I never knew this character's name, but I love this character just because of how he talks. And this is the same guy voices Cleveland and Herbert. Well, so Brian goes out, he gets a cab, becomes a cab driver so he can make some money and stuff like that. And Peter hires him and they see Lois and Peter wants to prank her by shooting out her tires as they drive.
Well, first he does the basic thing, like honk at her, and he's like, oh, yeah. Hey, Peter. And then he's like, all right, now ram her. And he tips Brian extra.
And then they get a gun and shoot her tires out. She crashes into the side of a supermarket.
Yeah.
And then that character that I like comes up and he's like, oh no. Yeah.
Oh no.
I love that guy's voice so much.
He's great.
That guy does the best voices.
He crashed into the community pin board or something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. It was a community cork board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Showing some that there's going to be a talent show.
Yes.
And that spawns.
That's the segue to the second plot, the subplot of the episode.
Well, at least Peter and Lois's subplot, because, I mean, Brian and Stewie go down completely different paths.
Oh, yeah, true.
Peter and Lois start this whole thing about, like, I guess they used to sing in a band, and it was awful. It's they're easily making fun of that really hippie kind of music from like the 70s and stuff or the 60s or whatever.
The name of the band was Handful of Peter.
Yeah. They were singing about like injustice for the Native Americans and stuff.
And just
as cheesy as possible.
As a quick, tidbit, the original name for the band was going to be Mouthful of Peter, but Seth MacFarlane decided to change it to Handful because hand jobs are less offensive. accepted or That's something good. Like that. I can't remember what he said exactly.
Okay, so two jokes I want to bring up before we get to the main part with Mayor West and Meg and Brian and Stewie and all that.
Brian goes to the mayor's office to confront Adam West about the outrageous parking ticket that he gets, and which is like $300 or something. And then and Meg's there because she's the intern at this time. And so he's talking to Meg about it and trying to have her help him talk to Mayor West. She doesn't. And eventually what that leads up to is, and we'll go back a little bit with some of the jokes, but what it leads up to is him kind of spying on Mayor West, finding a file that says that he's got a secret meeting in a hotel room at this particular time. So he goes to the hotel, like, I can't remember if he drills a hole in the wall or he's just listening through the wall.
Yeah. Stewie drilled a hole.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And they, so Stewie's in on it. They're like kind of spying on him together and, watching through the hotel room, and they see that it's actually Meg that's meeting him.
Right.
And they're not only meeting, like they start making out.
Right. Well, first let's, one of the quick references is the first thing that's happening when he looks in the hotel room is Mayor West is just laying on the bed watching Jim and the holograms.
Yes. He's like, you truly are outrageous.
Truly, truly, truly outrageous. Yeah. And then they're watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You can hear the theme song for it.
Yeah. They played the actual theme song.
Yeah, which is awesome. I can't remember if this happens. I think this happens before the hotel room. So they meet up with an informant in the parking garage, Brian and Stewie do, and we clearly see that it's Kermit the Frog, like just from the silhouette, and he still talks like him and
they
everything.
They call him Deep Throat.
His code name is Deep Throat, and that's actually a reference to a movie. I can't remember the movie, but obviously it's a dirty reference too, but there is an informant called Deep Throat in this movie that I don't know the name of. But
after that movie, it became a noir term.
Yeah.
So like anybody that has information and kind of meets you to spread the information, but you don't really it's not like a formal meeting where you're going to know who the other person is. It's they meet in the shadows. You call them Deep Throat.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of that term came from there
before it became
totally
a dirty
means
term.
Something else in another industry.
Yeah, exactly. Before it became a dirty term, it was a noir term, but
oh my God, the Kermit thing.
So he's sitting there talking to him and Brian's just like, Kermit the Frog. And he's like, I can't remember what he said. He's just like, they just covered me. Yeah. My cover's been blown. And he just starts like running off with his arms waving in the air, doing the whole like Muppet dance.
His arms are flailing everywhere. Yeah. Oh man. That was so good.
That was awesome.
My other favorite joke from here the first time Brian came to Mayor West's office, and he's talking to Meg, and Meg's like, oh, Adam's not here right now. And then Brian's like, well, fine, I'm coming back, blah, blah, blah. So Brian leaves, and it turns out that Adam West had he was gone because he was picking up his Domino's pizza. And
oh,
something about the Noid. And for those that are too young to remember, the Noid was this kind of like mascot campaign that Domino's Pizza did. I don't know if it was in the 80s or if it was just the early 90s, but back when me and Joseph were kids.
Yeah.
And
long time ago.
This, like, it looks like maybe this really ugly dude dressed in like a, I don't know, like a red rabbit onesie.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And like the whole thing was avoid the Noid.
Because he's going to like ruin your pizza or steal your pizza or something.
Yeah, he would steal your pizza.
So Adam West introduced it to Meg. He's like, make sure to let me know if the Noid or if you see the Noid come around or something, because I'm going to, what do you say? Like, I'm going to kill him or choke him out or something like that.
He said he's going to snap his neck.
Oh, that's right. And later we see that come to fruition where the Noid comes in. He just comes running through the office, you know, and Adam West catches him. And starts like banging his head up against the wall until there's just blood splattered all over it.
he's literally beating the shit out of the Noid. Yeah.
And then he really does snap his neck. Those who are in the know will appreciate the Easter egg, I guess.
And that was another thing where it's almost like they almost went too far because it was so horribly violent the way he killed the Noid. I mean, there's blood everywhere. And I was watching this with my girlfriend who had, she had seen a few episodes of Family Guy, but hasn't seen much of it. And we were watching that part. She was like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. Like,
she was, laughing, but also very concerned that this was the thing.
So in this episode, we got Kermit the Frog, we got the Noid, and just various other jokes. I mean, it's a great episode.
Everything kind of comes to a head where Brian basically confronts Meg and is just like, we know what's going on. You are a teenager. This isn't right. She's like, we haven't done anything yet. Adam West even said, we haven't done anything yet. I was going to wait till you're 18 or 21 or 25 when you can rent a car.
Yeah.
So it's like, they were dating, but it was innocent, but it's extremely, extremely, extremely an unhealthy relationship because no child could be in a relationship with an adult like that and it not be unhealthy. So Brian was ready to basically turn in the information he had to the press and ruin Mayor West's career. He kind of sees how like heartbroken the two of them are when they call things off because they know it was wrong. And Brian feels really guilty about it. And he's like, I know you shouldn't be in a relationship kind of thing, but I feel really bad about it. I'm not going to ruin his reputation sort of thing.
Yeah, so, and he ripped up the picture that he had.
Yeah, he ripped up the picture. He had like the evidence and stuff. So that was nice. On the flip side of that, Lois and Peter do their talent show. And like you think that it goes really well because they're singing this happy song. There's a unicorn decoration and stuff. But what happened is, like, they were lacking inspiration when they were practicing, so they started doing lots of drugs because they thought that would give them inspiration because that's what they used to do back in the 60s, 70s, whatever. And they thought they did okay, and later it shows them, they're like, man, I can't believe that we didn't win. And Chris comes in, and he's like, you guys were so baked. You didn't sound anything like you thought you did. And it shows them like the actual clip. Yeah. And it's just them like with microphones going,
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But yeah, good episode. Thanks for the suggestion, Patrick. And that moves us on to the third episode we watched for today's show, Road to the Multiverse, Season 8, Episode 1, which was the highest rated episode. And in this one, Brian and Stewie explore a series of alternate universes. Which is true. And this episode is great because of that. So the way this starts out is really weird, but it's still kind of funny where they're at a state fair and Stewie's got this prized pig. And this
pig
is so buff. Like this pig is like super muscular. It's even got like fists instead of hooves on his front paws. And Brian calls out, he's like, are those fists? And then The pig just punches Brian down.
Like, punches him off screen, like, a la Hulk and Thor from Avengers. Right. And my favorite part, though, was, like, before you even see the pig, like, so he's like, yeah, I won the prize for, like, first place in the pig thing. And Brian's like, you have a pig? And it shows the pig, you know, in his giant buffness. And he's like, oink! Yeah. I mean, my girlfriend laughed out loud at a lot of this stuff, but that one definitely got her.
Really?
Like, I thought she was going to lose it.
Of all the things, he shows him, like, he asks him where he got it or how he did it. And he's talking about multiverses. And then Brian's doing that thing that people do where they're like, where they pretend that they understand what the other person's talking about, where they repeat the last two things that you said. It's like, yeah, multiverse. Interdimensional travel. Yeah. And then Stewie, it's funny because Stewie stops it. Like, he pauses the conversation, just like, don't do that. Like, don't pretend you know what I'm talking about by repeating the last two things. And it's funny just because it's like, that is a thing that people do. And it's just kind of observational humor in a way thrown into that.
That's something that I noticed really quickly about Family Guy when I first started watching it, that I was just like, oh my God, like, this is so relatable. It's ridiculous because, like you said, it's very observational humor. And I'm like, they are nailing real life things in ways that I have never seen anyone else do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Like, so something I used to imagine as a kid was like, when if I'm trying to sleep in on a Sunday morning, because there's no cartoons that are worth watching on a Sunday. Everything's on Saturday, man. Saturday's the best. But so on a Sunday, I would always get woken up from my mom, like, doing, like, vacuuming or doing something. And it's just because my, like, mind is exaggerating things. I just feel like she's standing outside my room, just opening and slamming the closet door and, like, smacking the vacuum against the wall, like, repeatedly and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, those are the kind of jokes that you would see in Family Guy. Just that kind of that kind of stuff that's just, like, so relatable, but nobody else has really picked it apart yet.
Right. But a lot of times it's very emphasized, where they will make sure it's exaggerated to the point where it's like, okay, I get it. Like, I see what you're doing. It's almost exactly. like if you were to, I guess, put Seinfeld in fast forward, like a fast-paced Seinfeld observational humor, like, those jokes are very slow to be delivered and kind of carry out throughout the episode. But in Family Guy, it's just like quick, 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 quick. It just is thrown at you and you might miss it, like you said, if you're not listening.
So easy to miss.
Yeah. But so what happens is, like, once, you know, Stewie tells him about the interdimensional travel to the multiverses, he takes him to this other multiverse. I guess the original one where he got the pig. And it's like
the future.
Yeah, it's not even the future. It's current Quahog. What is that?
Oh,
it is?
It was Quahog without Quahog. Christianity.
Yeah, but yeah, without the introduction of Christianity. So the Dark Ages never happened, to where it held back scientific and technological research. And so that allowed allowed humans to advance 1,000 years further than they have up to this point. And so it's basically like jets and stuff all over the place. It's just flying cars and whatnot. And then just so many things have changed.
Big jump to this one. Oh, man.
Yeah. We see Meg come walking down the street, and she is like, it's like hot Meg, basically. Like, she's got a great body. I mean, she still has the exact same face, basically, but just a great body.
It's funny, too, is because Brian was like, whoa, that's Meg? Because obviously she looks much better than she used to. And Stewie's like, yeah, and she's still one of the ugly ones.
Right. She's like, you should see Lois. One of the things that happens, so Brian has to go to the restroom. He has to poop. And so Stewie's like, I don't know. I can't remember what he says, but he beams the poop out of him, basically. And it sends it to another dimension. Yeah.
And that joke returns later on.
Oh, yeah.
But so the joke from this one that I really like, that I thought was funny, was... So we get to see Quagmire. We haven't talked about Quagmire much, but Quagmire is the family's neighbor, and he is known for being a womanizer. He's constantly sleeping around with women.
Basically a sexual deviant.
Yeah, he's hardcore a sexual deviant. He also has a thing for giraffes, which shows up in an episode. But anyway, so in this one, we see him leaving a house. He gets like an alert. I don't remember if it was on his watch or something. He's like, oh, got AIDS again. Better take my NyQuil, cold, flu, and AIDS.
Oh, yeah.
He just pops pill and he's like, AIDS free.
All clear. Yep.
Then they go to the Flintstones.
Oh, man, this one is great. So it's basically just, it's Peter and Lois just talking about having rock sex, but everything is like the predecessor to every sentence is rock something. And then what's really funny is when the frog comes in, because you know, there's all those animals that are like, it's a living, stuff like that. But the frog comes in, he's like, ribbited for your pleasure, because he's the, I don't know if he's like the condom or something.
The frog was the contraceptive.
Contraceptive, yeah.
He's like, I'm ribbited for your
ribbited
pleasure.
Ribbited for your pleasure, yeah.
God.
So, and then Stewie's just like, want to get the rock out of here? And Brian's like, rock, yeah.
And then, which one's next?
The Japanese family one, yeah. Oh, man, one was very borderline offensive, if not outright offensive.
It was probably, yeah, it was like... I'm like, how is this not super racist?
Yeah, it's like the most like stereotypical Japanese you could imagine. This is that where they're saying things, and it's like, I can't remember what everybody says, but I know Quagmire does come in at some point. He's like, hello, I like many sex and stuff like that.
Yes. And he's got giant teeth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just the most racist.
I mean, they've all got the eye shape, and they've all got black hair and kind of buck teeth, like how they used to make fun of Asians after like World War II or during World War II. Like Looney Tunes used to do that a lot. So they kind of did a lot of that.
and Lois is talking about making dinner, and Peter was saying something about how he wanted dinner 2 hours ago. Then he punches her in the face, and she just does that little like Japanese schoolgirl laugh and runs off. Yeah.
Meg commits seppuku.
Oh, yeah. She has shamed her family, so she does the sword in her chest thing.
So this one in particular, like, this was the part that I was like, all right, I'm kind of uncomfortable with this one. Like, I think that was straying a little too far.
I think that it could have been, maybe should have been shorter, that portion of it. But I think it was just extended for so long that it became uncomfortable more than it was funny at a certain point.
It was very cringy.
Yeah, exactly. But then they head over to the two-headed universe, which was kind of like one of the weaker universes, because it was just like one head's happy, one head is sad, but everybody has two heads. But it's kind of funny, because it's just like the heads, like someone will be saying a sentence in a very uplifting tone, and then they'll just say something really sad afterwards.
The only one I thought was funny was Tom Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
Who is their local newscaster, and he's also voiced by Seth MacFarlane. He's like, our top story today, the police chief's dog had puppies. Yeah. And then the sad head on Tom Tucker goes, there was a plane crash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that was the only thing in that one that made me laugh.
I think that's probably the same for me. The rest of them were kind of forgettable, I forgot them and I can't remember what they were.
Yeah, like that wasn't a very funny one.
No. But that one was pretty quick. And then they go over to the Ice Age, where it's literally just like Brian and Stewie frozen in a ice cap, I guess. But so is the teleporter, so they can't reach it at first. And then Stewie's talking to Brian and telling him how he's stronger than him, so he should try to get it. And then Brian's tail starts wagging, and it, you know, moves some of the ice away, or starts melting some of the ice. Yeah. And we find out that his tail's wagging because it makes him happy when he's complimented. And so after that, Stewie just starts trying to make him happy by complimenting him. And it's really good, because this is where it kind of crosses the line. And this happens sometimes where it's like, Brian's still a dog, and there are things that Stewie says that would be really appealing to dogs, like telling him how he's going to take him for a walk, and how he's gonna give him a treat. And he's like, but you really have it, right? Like, you really have that treat with you? He's like, oh, yeah, I promise. And he's super excited.
We're really
going to
go for a walk.
And we're going to go for a walk, right? Yeah.
Also, Brian's poop from the other universe is here.
Oh, yeah. We don't see it, but Stewie's just like, oh, yeah, and there's your poop from earlier or something. So that it makes a callback, I guess, in a weird way.
Yeah.
But it was good. Yeah. It was good placement. That was funny. And so basically, Brian just gets so excited that he eventually melts through the ice cap enough to where he can grab the teleporter and move on to the next place, which is amazing. This next place is...
Yeah, this is my favorite.
It's basically, the universe is completely drawn by Disney, and it looks amazing. Yes. Like, it looks beautiful. It's such good art.
And like, all the characters were done so well, like the way Brian and Stewie looked, the way Lois looked, And like it was like old school Disney, like Snow White, Cinderella, like that kind of Disney.
Yeah, she was basically she was Snow White basically.
She looked very Snow White,
right?
But it was so gorgeous, like beautifully done.
Peter
looked hilarious. Yeah.
Joe, their neighbor in a wheelchair, he was like a coffee pot, kind of like Beauty and the Beast. And Quagmire was a bird. And Meg was the funniest because she was Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Yes. They made Meg.
She was hideous.
So everyone looks beautiful and Meg's this fat, ugly, disgusting version of herself.
So much
with
so
tentacles.
It even has tentacle legs. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
And that's, making Meg the butt of the joke.
But they don't make any kind of reference to it or call. They don't even pay attention to it. It's just, it's there. That's the way it is. No one bats an eye. Meg's just this hideous monster.
Oh God, that was funny. And so they're singing the song because,
it's a wonderful day for pie.
Yeah. Lois baked a pie and Peter comes floating in following the scent of the pie, which I thought was funny. Cause that was a very Disney thing.
Oh, definitely.
So everyone's singing about pie. You even get like a little skunk version of Cleveland singing. Yeah. And then Herbert shows up as like an evil witch, like the one from Snow White with an apple. He's like, "You want an apple?" And they're like, "No," and slam the door.
Yeah, no.
And Stewie is loving it so much. He's like, "We have to stay here forever. We could really stay here forever." And Brian's like, "Yeah, I guess so." But that is when
Mort comes to the door, who is the stereotypical Jew of the show. And his kid, and the joke is like right when Mort comes to the door, like they drag him in and start beating him up.
So the joke there is like some people don't understand, but the joke there was Walt Disney. I'm about to burst some bubbles. I'm so sorry, Walt Disney, not the studio, not the theme park, not the cartoons. The actual man, Walt Disney, was horribly racist against Jews. And so that's where the joke stems from.
So yeah, it was a well-placed joke. And one of those that didn't really need any kind of reference, but you got it if you got it. And that takes him over to the Robot Chicken universe, which obviously is Seth Green's, I was going to say love child, not his love child. His,
oh, gross. It's Seth Green and Breckin Meyer.
It's his baby,
child.
Yeah. So in this one, it's just kind of, it makes fun of nostalgic callbacks where basically it makes fun of Robot Chicken because all it does is like bring in all these like old cartoons and stuff and just makes them into kind of a funny skit. But in this one, it's like, hey, G.I. Joe's, Transformers, Thundercats, and He-Man. Yay, those shows existed. And that was pretty much the joke. Yeah.
But what's funny, too, is that they're doing that to make fun of Robot Chicken, but that is half of the jokes for Family Guy also.
Yeah, exactly.
And also all of the jokes for Dane Cook, who was a stand-up comedian back the time that Family Guy was kind of, in its heyday, for those that don't know or don't remember who Dane Cook is.
Yeah, was. I don't know what he's doing now.
I don't know if he's allowed to do anything now.
In the next universe that comes up, I can't remember exactly what it was, but
I love this one though.
In this one, so basically Kennedy never becomes president, and so Nixon's still president, and then Lee Harvey Oswald obviously doesn't kill Kennedy. Instead, he kills Mayor McCheeseburger. And if you know who that is, but it's what's kind of gruesome about it is you actually get to see like the drive through Dallas where Kennedy got shot, but instead it's Mayor McCheeseburger with that giant cheeseburger head. You actually get to see him get shot and just hamburger explode everywhere. And then Jackie O starts jumps in the back and starts eating his head. And
starts eating the hamburger.
And either Stewie or Brian's like, was that offensive? And he's like, nah, he's just a cheeseburger, right?
Right, exactly. And I mean, that was what's funny is that's so meta because I was thinking the same thing when that first happened. I was like, I feel like it's kind of offensive, and then they said that line. I'm like, yeah, he's just a cheeseburger.
He's just a cheeseburger. It's okay.
Poor Mayor McCheese. God, so Mayor McCheese, this is another nostalgic callback from childhood thing. McDonald's, in addition to Ronald McDonald, used to have a ton of other characters. For those that don't know, there was like Grimace, there was the Fry Guys, there was the Hamburglar, there was Birdie, mm-hmm. and there was Mayor McCheese. So he was one of those characters. That's where he comes from.
Yeah, just a giant cheeseburger head. That's it.
Yeah.
Then they go to this blocky universe, which I didn't understand the reference.
I didn't either. And I didn't think that one was very funny.
Nah, I'm sure it would have been if I had gotten what it was from, but I don't know. Yeah. You go to one where it's just a Washington Post political cartoon.
Yeah. The universe there isn't funny, but the joke that Stewie was making about Brian was funny. Yeah. Whereas, like, you know, it's lots of political cartoon stuff, and Stewie's explaining how it's dumb, like, it never makes any sense, nobody really understands it, and Brian's just kind of laughing, and he's like, ha, that's so funny, and Stewie's like, you don't get it. Which is, I feel like, is true. I think most people pretend like they get it and they don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I am not a political person at all. So if I read those jokes, it would just be me being like, ah, that seems funny, but I don't understand.
And that's the thing is, like, so I follow politics, but like, if you look at those political cartoons, there will never be a political cartoon that actually makes you laugh. It's just kind of like if there's one now, it would be like, let's say a really exasperately drawn fat Donald Trump eating a cheeseburger, but with really tiny hands. And the cheeseburger says like healthcare or something, you know, you're not going to laugh at it. You're just like, oh,
yeah, exactly. You it's know? Like, oh, that's it. That's a thing that happened.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. And that's now going to be a political cartoon. Someone's going to draw that.
The next one we go to, this one's pretty great. It's just a guy who's really far away yelling compliments.
Yeah.
He's like, nice shirt. And then Stewie's like, thank
gives
you.
Compliments.
Yeah. Yeah. He gives compliments. And then they teleport to the next one, which is misleading portraiture. This one made me laugh because
this one made me laugh.
It's like, it's that scene where you're looking at a, some kind of background. And then you just see two guys from the side carry this away. Like it's just a picture. And then Stewie's just like, well, and Brian falls for it at first. And then they carry the picture away. And then it's like, Stewie's just like, well, at least the compliment guy's still here. And then, because you see him in the background. And then the guys just carry that picture away. And he's like, oh, right. They got both of us.
Yeah, that one was pretty good.
Then it turns into, this next one's kind of a bigger part of it where it's.
And this is the last one, I think.
Yeah. This is the last one, yeah.
Yeah, this is the final universe.
Right, where people. Or where dogs own people.
It's Planet of the Apes, but with dogs.
Planet of the Dogs.
So the dogs are anthropomorphic. They speak. They're human-like. They run the world. The humans are the pets, and they don't really... not all of them speak English. You know, they act the way dogs do, mm-hmm. which is pretty funny. And Brian is just so enamored by this that he... he wants to stay, and he kind of, I don't remember how he does it, but he ends up breaking the device so that
he's just trying to take it away from Stewie because he's like, well, let's not leave just yet. And it kind of slips out of one of their hands and breaks.
Yeah, it breaks.
It's funny that you said Planet of the Apes actually because Stewie makes a reference to it where, I think when Brian is about to put him on a leash because the cops come by and ask him to. He's just like, take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty dog. And that's just a direct reference, obviously, to the Planet of the Apes, the first one.
I like when Stewie goes and poops on the grass.
Yeah, he's like,
to get
revenge. You like role reversal. Okay, so pick up my poop. And then he's like, oh, but I need a plastic bag. He's like, here's a thin napkin.
That's funny, too. It's like Brian's like, I'm not going to pick up your poop. And the cop comes by. He's like, hey, pick up your poop. Animal's poop.
Yeah. That's great.
And here's a thin napkin.
Yeah. They eventually go to the Griffin household where all the Griffins are dogs, too. Meg, of course, is the ugliest. She is some like bulldog. Gross bulldog. Yeah. Stewie is a poodle. Poodle Stewie goes to play with a human Stewie who is, you know, the pet in this instance. And then he tells him, he's like, I know who you are. You know, I've mastered multiverse travel as well. And I can teleport you and Brian back to your world. Joe comes to the door and Peter is talking to human Stewie. And he's treating him like a dog. And then human Stewie bites Peter. Well, Joe is, I guess, an animal cop, And so he takes Stewie to, you know, the pound, and they're just like, oh, we'll just pick him up later. Brian thinks that, but he's like, oh no, if a dog bites a human, kind of almost like in real life, where if a dog bites a human, there's a good chance, if it's someone you don't know and it's out, you know, in public, that dog's going to be euthanized or something. And so it comes to a situation where Stewie is about to be euthanized as a bad pet.
And the other part of this is, so because Brian is usually a dog in this universe, this family's Brian is a human.
A human with a giant nose.
And he becomes a big plot. So human Brian, dog Brian, and dog Stewie go to the pound to break human Stewie out, which they do. They open the portal and they're going back to their home. And human Brian leaps through the portal with them because he wants to not be a pet or feel like a slave anymore. He wants to go to a place where he can be free. So all three of them get to the other side and they're like, oh man, human Brian's here. What are we going to do? And he's just like, you know, I'm going to go embark on my own, you know, really make something of myself now that I have a chance. God, this one. So he starts walking down the sidewalk and they're just kind of like, you know, the real Stewie and Brian are just like, oh, you know, that's nice. We're glad. And then all of a sudden you just hear tire screech and like a loud boom. They're like, oh, he got hit by a car.
Oh my God, he was hit by a car. Yeah. And that's where the episode cuts off.
That's it. That's just it.
Yeah.
Oh, and like one last thing for this episode. This was a joke that also made me laugh out loud. And it was like the joke that they got in right before the end. It was perfect. It was when they first got back, they were just like, are you sure? Like they're in the house and they're like, are you sure we're in the right place? And you see Meg walk to her parents' bedroom door and call for her mom. Peter runs out, grabs her face, slams it against his butt and farts and then runs away.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're home.
Yeah, we're home. Yeah.
That was great.
It was. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we travel through the multiverse using Stewie's device until we find a universe where our show was a success. Then, while we roll around in all that sweet, sweet podcast money, see what our inner kids thought of Family Guy.
I wish we had podcast money.
I wish we were a success.
Family Guy made me laugh a lot, but it also warmed my tiny heart. Seeing a loving family bonding with a mutual hatred over Meg was exactly what I needed. In fact, I'd totally help Stewie kill Meg, or his mom, or anyone. So I gave this cartoon 4.5 bowls of deep throat cereal out of 5.
This show is perhaps overly reliant on culturally themed flashbacks and kind of offensive, especially for innocent children like me. But now that my mom's out of the room, I kind of loved all those things about it, and the constant pop culture references made it an entertaining game of, hey, I remember that. The characters were interesting, the stories were ridiculous, but no more so than other cartoons of this style, and some of the jokes literally made me LOL. Overall, I'd give Family Guy 4 big bowls of handful of Peter cereal out of 5, and in closing, shut up, Meg.
Yeah, so this was a great cartoon, but maybe don't watch it in front of your parents, kids.
Or if you're a kid, we don't condone you watching it at all, but we can't tell you what to do.
So just don't tell anyone that we told you about
it. Yeah, exactly.
So do you have any final thoughts on Family Guy?
Final thoughts on Family Guy. It is, every time I've seen it, I've been entertained by it. It's not something that I think I could watch constantly because I feel like it doesn't use the same jokes over and over again, but it has the same style. These jokes are very formulaic. So I think at a point it would reach kind of oversaturation for me. But the amount that I watch it kind of piecemeal here and there, it's great and I love it. So it's one of those things, jump in. I don't know how it is now. We only watched up to season 8, at least. You know, I have only watched up to season 8 with this episode we just watched. So I can definitely recommend the classic episodes, but I don't know what you're getting yourself into now. But I think if it's still running for so long, there's got to be something good about it.
Yeah, there's got to be something good about it. I forgot just how much this show can make me laugh. I think that we looked out with these episodes because we saw some really good ones. And there are definitely some bad and boring episodes of Family Guy. Like, I know that much because I have watched up through, I want to say season 12, maybe. Like, some of them I just had to get through it to find the good ones. That's me looking at it from a standpoint of just, I think, having a nostalgia for the first seasons, because the first seasons are my favorite. Like, 1 through 3, I think, are absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's not fair to just constantly compare, because then I'm just closing myself off to new ideas. So I'm still giving this a high rating, because This is the most I have laughed watching any of the cartoons we've done for this show so far. Like, I cannot express how much I was laughing out loud. And I'm sure eventually we'll go back and watch those Star Wars specials for this show.
Oh,
those I enjoy. Yeah. Those are great.
That was like the something dark side, right?
Yeah, yeah. They did all three of the original Star Wars.
Nice.
And I know that those are good. I used to own those on DVD because I thought they were so
good. Oh, yeah. George Lucas actually gave them... Or he allowed them to do that because he is a big fan of the show himself.
I would love to do that trilogy sometime for this show.
Yeah, I think something else good just to, before we close out about this show also, is that even though there's continuity to it, it's not something that you can't just jump into a random episode and enjoy yourself. It doesn't hold so hard to it that you're going to have to have seen a previous episode to get one. They can pretty much all be standalone.
So real quick, before we go, we have another 5-star rating on iTunes. We are now at 20 ratings. Yay.
Dang,
we wanted to get to 20. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We hit 20 and all 20 were 5-star ratings. That's so awesome. So thank all of you
awesome
guys.
Awesome and surprising.
That.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if you haven't given us a rating, please help us out and do that. We're not going to ask you to give us 5 stars, but if you want to, I'm not going to say no.
But don't you
want to
be part of the crowd? Be like everybody else. Give us 5 stars.
Yeah. And if you write a comment, I will read it. And so this latest one, this is from Mr. Solitaire 27, who says, hilarious. That is the title. It's hilarious.
Nice.
And so his comment is, like many 90s kids, I used to enjoy my Saturday mornings as well as some weekday afternoons after school in front of the tube watching cartoons. Now, as a 30-something in 2017, I have the pleasure of waking up every Saturday morning and taking time to listen to a podcast that's all about reviewing, commenting, and reliving the nostalgia of many of the Saturday morning cartoons I grew up with and more. I get a kick out of the jokes that hosts Joseph and Chris come up with, from horse sharks and Wolverinipedes to the big man himself, the one and only Sawboss.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Overall, I give Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom 5 Jossam bowls of cereal out of 5 Jossam bowls of cereal. Fins up.
This guy's awesome.
That guy hit us with so many references from earlier episodes. That's great.
We throw things out so fast and, you know, pointlessly that we don't even remember our own jokes. So thank you for reminding us.
We just have a very thin plot and then it's just lots of jokes thrown in.
Yeah.
Just like Family Guy.
Not all great, but some of them work.
Yeah.
Thank you, Patrick, for recommending Family Guy. This was a fun rewatch.
Thanks so much, Patrick.
And thank you, Mr. Solitaire 27. That was an awesome review. Oh, gosh, there it is. Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply is now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. Next week, we'll be watching
Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs, submitted via Twitter by Kobe at Koblack3527.
Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs?
Yep, that's
the
thing.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be like Adventure of the Galaxy Rangers.
Yep, I hope you're prepared for this. I hope you're prepared, Joseph. I don't think you're prepared.
I'm never ready.
You are not prepared.
So, boss. All right, well, thanks for the suggestion. We'll see. It could be fun. It could be good. I feel like people just throw bad shows at us sometimes just for fun, just to see us squirm.
Oh, I know. I know some of them do. Because that's exactly how we got Turbo Teen.
Oh, true. Oh, Turbo Teen. I'm still haunted by that.
And he has suggested another for us that we will eventually
hit. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yep.
Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.